in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 5, at the end of the verse there, it talks about considering these pieces of the tabernacle, it says, of which we cannot now speak particularly. The details of each of these items mentioned were not necessarily the subject or was not the point that the apostle was making, but in a study where we have the leisure of time, we can stop and look at each one of these, and then we'll go back and look at the whole context of what is being taught here. So we begin here in Hebrews 9:1, and it says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first," or the first room in this tabernacle, "wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread. And this room was called the sanctuary." We saw last time how that the tabernacle itself, being covered over with badger skins without, and but within being gold and having fine royal colors, was a picture of Christ, of the God-man, in whom outside was no form of comeliness about him, that when we would see him, we'd desire him, but righteousness is the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. That first room, the sanctuary, or the holy room, that was where the Levitical family alone entered. We saw how that typified Christ, our holy place, our sanctuary, where only those whom he has made priests can serve God and worship God. We saw the candlestick, how that Christ is the light by which his people are illuminated to live and see and walk in him with God. And we looked at the table, and we considered this table as being the table which held the showbread rather than the brazen altar. And the reason I looked at that is because itself is important, because this table, we saw how it typified the one in whom we gather around and in whom we have communion with our Father. Just like you gather around your dinner table. And the showbread that was on that table pictures Christ the bread, ever before God's face, ever his delight and the delight of his people. The bread whom believers feast upon and in whom we have life. And then today we pick up here in verse 3. And it says, "And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat." Now, today we're going to begin to enter the second room in the tabernacle called the holiest of all. And this room is typical of heaven itself, where the thrice holy God dwells. We can see here in verse 24 of chapter 9, it says, "Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Those were but figures of the true holy place, but he's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us." So that's this holiest of all. The title this morning, we're only going to look at two items. We're not going to get to the Ark of the Covenant. We'll look at it by itself in the lesson next week, Lord willing. But today, we'll look at the veil and the golden censer. That's the title of the lesson, the veil and the golden censer. Now this veil, if you want to turn to Exodus 26:31, this was a heavy curtain that was hanging between four columns, which separated the holy room from the most holy, or the holiest of holies. In Exodus 26:31, it says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made," or on it was cherubims. "And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Now this fine twined linen means it was a thread that was doubled six times when it was twisted. So you have blue thread that's doubled six times, purple thread that's doubled six times, scarlet thread that's doubled six times, and linen doubled six times, making up one thread that's been woven 24 times. So each thread, and it says there were 72 of these woven together to make up this curtain. And so the point being, this was veil was about as wide as your hand. It was a heavy, thick veil. It was not just a curtain like these we have in here. This was a thick veil. And the only way to the holy place, the only way into the holiest of holies, was through this veil. The only way to get to where God said He would meet with His people above the mercy seat was through this veil. The only way to see God's good pleasure when he received the high priest and the offering that the high priest brought, the blood, was through that veil. Now, we're talking right now about the tabernacle in the wilderness. It's the veil we're talking about in the tabernacle in the wilderness. But this veil is what hung in the temple. Now, you picture this. It's the time of the evening sacrifice, and Christ is hanging there on the cross. And He cries out with a loud voice, and He gives up His life. And suddenly, just in that instant, this thick veil splits from top all the way to the bottom. It splits in two. And before everyone present, and recorded in Scripture for all of God's people to see and to know, God declared that no longer is this beautiful veil, which hung there, no longer is it the way into the holiest of all. There is a new way. There is a living way. The way is a man, of flesh, like his brethren. The door is Christ Jesus, the way. Through Him we enter, not into a holy place in a tabernacle or in a temple, but into heaven itself, into God's presence. Look there with me at Hebrews 10 and verse 20. That's what's being declared here. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. He's the way in. Look at John 10 and verse 7. John 10 and verse 7. When Christ was speaking there in a parable, they didn't understand exactly what He meant, and so He spoke plainly to them. And He says here in John 10 and verse 7, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily." When you see verily, verily, pay attention. What comes next is utmost importance. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." This is Christ. He's the one that's made an entrance through His flesh into the holiest of holies, the very presence of God for us. And it's only through Him that we enter into this holiest of holies. We've seen that in the lesson that we had prior to this one, that the people came to the outer court with the sacrifices. And the priest, the Levitical family alone, could enter into that holy place, that holy room, that sanctuary, a picture of Christ's people entering into Him by faith. He's the light. He's the bread. He's our communion with God. And then it's only by entering into Him here by faith that we enter into the holiest of holies, into God's very presence. So we have to, there's one way, just one way, and it's through Him, the veil. Now let's look secondly here in verse 4 and chapter 9, and it says, and there was also, it said, it which had the golden censer. Now, if you want to be turning, you can turn over to Leviticus 16, Leviticus chapter 16. Within that first room, the sanctuary, incense was to be burned on the altar of incense continually, all the time. But the golden censer was carried into the holiest of holies once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. Now let's read that. Leviticus 16:11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering. Aaron is the high priest. He'll bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and he'll bring it within the veil. He's the high priest. He takes this golden censer, and he takes, it has burning coals of fire in it from off this altar before the Lord. And in his other hand, he has sweet incense, beaten small, and he brings it within the veil. And verse 13 says, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord. He's entered the veil, and he takes the incense, and he puts it upon the fire before the Lord. And here's what happens. That the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Now I thought maybe it would be helpful for you if, before we got into speaking here about what this all typifies, to just give you a simple definition of the word intercession. Intercession. It's intervening to mediate a dispute on behalf of somebody. It's to enter into mediate a dispute between two parties. And it's to supplicate, pray for peace on behalf of another. An example of it. Let me give you this. When Christ was hanging on the cross, there were some with him, or some there around him, for whom he was dying, that they didn't know he was dying for them. And when he's hanging on the cross, he said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's an intercessory prayer. If you go home tonight, you read John 17. That's an intercessory prayer, where he's praying on behalf of the people that he represents. Intercession is made by Christ on behalf of his people based on two things. Two things. It's based on his righteousness, and it's based on his blood, his sacrifice. The incense that was made, that the high priest was to carry in, was very valuable. It was incense, it was very fragrant, and it typified the perfect righteousness of Christ, the sweet smell of righteousness. And the incense had in it burning coals, which signify the sufferings of Christ, body and soul, when God's wrath was poured out upon him as he bore what his people deserved. So with the incense, you have a picture of his righteousness. And in the burning coals, you have a picture of his sacrifice. And when that high priest entered into that holiest of holies, he took that that incense, and he put it on those burning coals, and the whole room filled with smoke and covered the mercy seat. A wonderful smell, a sweet smell. And it filled that whole room, and it showed a continual intercession of Christ on behalf of his people, a fullness of intercession on behalf of his people. And the high priest, which comes with this incense, he says that he came with it in this way that he die not. Now that high priest, that earthly high priest, Aaron, he had to offer a sacrifice for himself and for the people. Christ didn't have to offer a sacrifice for himself and the people. He came into that place pleading one thing, and that is his own sacrifice, himself, his blood, and his righteousness. And the smoke of this perfume filling the room and covering the ark and the mercy seat, we'll see later that ark and that mercy seat was on top, and in there was the law. And there, that law is the law that God's people broke. And this intercession that covered that mercy seat, that he died not, that this high priest died not, shows us that Christ entered in, and with that intercession that he made, God's pleased with it. God's satisfied with it. And God's acceptance of Christ, our high priest, with the incense, typified the fact that, or with the earthly priest, typified the fact that Christ Jesus magnified everything about that law. He met all the requirements. He's the end of the law for righteousness, because Christ never dies. He never dies. All who believe him, all who trust him, will never die. We've been made kings and priests in him. And just as God is satisfied with him, and he'll never die, his people that are in him never die. There, we will put off this body of flesh, but that won't be death. That'll be the beginning. That'll be the beginning. And if we attempt to come to God any other way than in Christ, we won't be received. We just won't be received. Let me show you two cases of that. Leviticus 10 and verse 1. Leviticus 10 and verse 1. Aaron had two sons. One's name was Nadab, and one's name was Abihu. And one day, Nadab and Abihu decided that they were going to go in with something other than the incense that God commanded be brought before him. And here's what happened. Leviticus 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake. This is what the Lord said concerning this matter. I will be sanctified. I will be regarded as holy. I will be reverenced as holy, as the Most High God, in them that come nigh me. And anybody that approaches him, we have to approach him as the Most High God. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron, their father, held his peace. He didn't say a word. This is God speaking. This is how we got to come, is in Christ. We can't come in a way other than the way, other than the intercessor. But then if you look over at 2 Chronicles 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you'll see there in verse 16, there was a man named King Uzziah, and the Lord blessed King Uzziah greatly, blessed his kingdom greatly. But when King Uzziah was blessed with all this abundance, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. He grew in pride, And he decided he didn't need a priest anymore. He didn't need a high priest. He could offer incense on his own. He could go in without the high priest. Now remember, the high priest pictures Christ. The incense that's burned pictures that which is pleasing to God. His intercession alone. And here's what happened to King Uzziah. It says in verse 16, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God." Here's how he transgressed against God. "He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. This is not your business. You can't come in and do this. This is for the priest alone. But to the priests is who it belongs, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary." He's in the holy, he's in that first room. But he couldn't even go into that room and burn incense, much less holiest of holies. They said, "Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." And then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Here's the lesson that we learn from that. Christ, the intercessor, is the one we come by in faith. We come in Him. In prayer, when we pray, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come in His name. We come through Him. And one day we're going to come in person before God into His presence, and we must come in His Son. I want you to look at a few scriptures with me here before we end. Romans 8:26. This is talking about what happens when we pray. Romans 8:26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." That's speaking of every believer. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He, God our Savior, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Look at Romans 8:34. "Who is he that condemneth?" Who can lay a charge to God's elect? Who can condemn them? "It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." That's where He is. He's entered in like that we saw that earthly high priest. He's entered in with the incense of His perfect righteousness and the fire of His sacrifice that He made. And it's filled the holy place, and it's a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And then back in our text, or back in Hebrews, rather, Hebrews 7:25. It says, "He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him." Remember, He's the veil. He's the way. He's the door. If we're going to come to God, we've got to come by Him. "And He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them," to plead our case before God. And then over in Hebrews 9, where we started, down in verse 24, where we read before. I want you to get this one particular phrase here. It says, Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself. Now look at this last phrase. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's there for somebody. And His appearance, His being there, is the He doesn't have to do anything. His being there, He's the intercessor. He is our intercession. And His simply being there is the being there for us, appearing before God for us. So this high priest, passing through the veil, entering the holiest of holies with the golden censer burning with incense, it's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful type. And due to the satisfaction that Christ made unto God, completed at the cross, His mediatory intercession, it's a sweet savor unto the Father. And it's effective, effectual unto the salvation of all His people. All His people. If we're going to come to Christ, we have to come through the veil. And we have to come pleading to Him to make intercession on our behalf. All right, I hope that's... Next week we'll pick up there and then we'll look at the ark. Ark's just too important to try to cover that much material and yet. We just devote one lesson to the ark. So...